Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, greetings to you all.
My name is Vedvyas Priya Swami. I am a disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the modern saint and servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. He brought the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who incarnated, the Lord incarnated to become His own devotee, to show us how the devotion is to be applied in order to achieve love of Godhead. God loves us, but we do not know how to love Him back. Love is a reciprocatory exchange which satisfies all the situation, all the circumstances, and all the living entities. Because each and every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, we call Him in different names. We attribute different nomenclatures of our understanding. But the Supreme Being is a common denominator for everyone. There is only one God, we say. Therefore, the absoluteness is already invested in Him. The definition of the absolute truth, when personified, is identical with His name, form, qualities, and activities. They are divine in nature, and divinity belongs to the soul and the Supreme Whole. Anything who is working or which is working under His manifested forms, they are all His energies, and they are meant to serve Him. When the energies are manifested, then and then we can get a glimpse or idea of who is the energetic behind. You can't separate energy and energetic. But we perceive energy which is manifested, and this energy gives variegatedness by permutation and combination. But inherent qualities that dictate permutation and combination, so we get varieties of energies manifesting right before us. These descriptions of the absolute truth are given in the Vedic literatures, which are estimated as more than 5,000 years old, upon which the Vedic culture, now it is termed by the people as Hindus, but such a word is never to be found in such literature. It's a coined name pertaining to that culture which was flourishing on the other side of Indus River, which was called Sindhu, and those who came, they termed it as Hindu. It's just a little colloquial pronunciation difference. But this is the root. But regardless, we are talking culture. Culture is a practice based on the tenets of God. And such cultures have been flourished from time to time. So we see the Vedic culture, or the one which was flourishing, has been turned in different aspects. And according to what is being presented before us in the modern times, you know, so we can understand, will be either studied in a comparative religion aspect or as a study of in-depth in a monastic aspect by practice of the culture. But in between there are so many other ways to study. So traditions are also there, and they inherit the same kind of culture. But you will see variegatedness and varieties of adherences, that when it comes to the tradition, then it turns into the belief systems. Under core is the one root, but its manifestations are many due to other influences. So in the Vedic literature, the energy of the Lord and the Lord is defined as nachatasya karanam karanam cha vidyate nachata samasam abhi adekacha drashyate. This is Sanskrit verse found in Sweta Satara Upanishad. Upanishads are corollary and supplementary literatures to the Vedic literature. There is one Veda, then it was expanded into four Vedas, but then again every line of discipline that it was describing, then 108 Upanishads were generated, and from that Samhitas and histories, and then Puranas, Puranic histories, these are all expanded. There are 18 Puranas and so many Samhitas, means compilation, then sutras, or the formulae that can tell in concise. So there's a vast treasure of Vedic literature delineating about this absolute truth, and through perceivable through the manifested energies. So it says the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. Who doesn't have His cause? He is existing. But our perception is based on the manifestation of His energy. Right? How the Lord is trying to exhibit His influence on all generated beings is described. So nobody can compete His unrivaled position, that for Him there is no cause, neither He has anything to do Himself personally. To work, to function, or to fulfill His desire, He has to do something? No. Because Parasya Shaktir Vividhiya Sruyate, His energies are so much variegated, and they are representing His swabhav, means His own nature, His own command, His own desire. They automatically work on His behalf. And these energies are manifested in knowledge, bala means strength, and functionalities. So, this Supreme is perfect and complete, from whom everything that is emitting is also perfect and complete. Despite producing so many perfect and complete units, he still remains perfect and complete, whole, never fragments. That is his unparalleled position. In our experience, fragmentation means destruction. One loses his identity even. See the trick. When the science has been trying to split the atom, and they ended up producing particles and subparticles only. Now, this matter is also manifested energy of the Lord. But then he says there are superior energies and there are inferior energies. The superior energy is sparks, part and parcels. They are called souls. And they are of his qualities. But they have been eternally separated. The other one, and these souls are conscious. So consciousness was the symptom which distinguished this energy than the inferior energy, which is achit or not conscious. So this is matter. But in the interjection of the Lord's desire, the manifestation starts. And similarity, is expressed in the subject matter of creation or creative principles. When the Lord desires, there was a creation. But creation has been done to settle the sparks which are coming out from him, separating from him, and of nature of extinguishing themselves, means they are covered up in by inferior energy, the matter. So even though living entities, spiritual in nature, forgot their spirituality and they are struggling hard to make themselves regain through the material medium. Our bodies are material, but the souls are spiritual in nature. So, the living entities are casted in a sandwich position, which is called Madhyastha Shakti. In between. So, sometimes we tend to remain spiritual, but as soon as we are overpowered by the influence of nature, we are forced to think material. So, religion is a word that denotes to connection or process of connection. Religos means to connect. Unless and until the spirit soul forgot about his reality, if he is educated, then he regains his spirituality. So the process of education started from the Lord by his instructions, following the commandments and the tenets of Torah, or the wisdom of the prophet, or the codes of Manu. So many ways. After all, the Lord himself is the only person. Rest is manifestation of his energies, and we are part and parcel of that energy. He expands himself within himself to create within himself, to give us a chance. So there is no purview outside of his existence. Everything is sarvam idam khalvam brahma. The Vedas say that whatever you see is entirety, is the Supreme Lord's domain. So we are all subjugated to the Lord. But we try to find ourselves in the opposite, world of opposite, though spiritual but confined in matter. That is a very dilemma condition, and we try to relieve ourselves from the tribulation of opposite nature. Generally it is experienced in pain, not pleasure. If the soul by nature is pleasure seeking and opposite nature is the inferior energy which doesn't have pleasure, then we are at conflict with our own surroundings. Therefore we struggle. But thinkers, the wise people, take help of finding out the cause of the dilemma, and then they try to resort their original nature. So that's why he has a process called yoga, or to connect with him by proper education and a succession of discipline. There are varieties of disciplines, so he can come to some tangible relief. Some may do it by belief system, some may do it by experimental on their own self, and some do by devotion. So the absolute truth was approached through three media. One by knowledge aspect, another by meditative aspect, and third by devotional aspect. So Vedas describe everything. But the age and circumstances we live, it is becoming more and more struggle, and we don't find relief at hand. So the conclusive aspect is also good. As a matter of fact, all the incarnations and other things that appeared, we consider Buddha to be incarnation, Jesus Christ to be incarnation, because they have been forecasted in our literature well before they appear. In Bhavishya Purana, Lord Jesus Christ has been designated as the son of Virgin Mary, who was begotten by Immaculate Conception. And there are definitions to understand what is meant by Immaculate Conception, because there are other examples also in the history of the Vedas. You must know, you must have come across with Bhagavad Gita, which is the most acknowledged book of spiritual science, which was told on the battlefield of Kurukshetra by Lord Krishna to Arjun, his disciple. Arjun was begotten by his mother with Immaculate Conception. But she did not beget only one, she beget six, with all different personalities we call the demigods. First was Karna, when she was maiden, she was not married even. Right? Second was Yudhishthir, third was Bhima, fourth was Arjun, and fifth and sixth, they were Ashwini Kumaras, like, or begotten by Ashwini Kumar, so Nakul and Sahadev. Now, this treatise is a chapter of a great epic called Mahabharata. This is one of the chapters, but it is with profound realizations about the identity of spiritual nature versus the matter. Because our dilemma begins and it engulfs us. If we don't make any solution, then our problems will continue. Most of us do not know because we are overpowered by the matter. And there are no proper teachings or no proper methodology to educate in spirituality. There are a lot of institutions for religious conveyance or favor and belief system. There, everywhere, 98% of the entire population of the world, which is over a trillion, is religious. This was a survey in 1978 by Gallup poll. Only 2% may be atheists. And everyone adheres to some superior nature and which they try to link themselves with because they are part and parcel of that superior nature or what we call superior energy. All the nature is the manifestation of this energy. So actually we are also that fragment of the energy, but we have acquired a duality. Our originality remains hidden because it is overpowered by the matter. Body is matter. But the one who animates the body is you. We are required to inquire in this reality of our own self. Then and then the problem can mitigate. Not by some political maneuver or economical maneuver or clinging to traditions. No, there is no way. Because time deteriorates everything. Time is the ultimate killer. We are given a limited time to exist in this particular form. When the energy principle dictates us that energy can neither be created nor can be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So you as or I as the part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, His superior energy, how can I be created and how can I be annihilated? Even though the body perishes, how can I? So these are the initial teachings when Arjun was perplexed that he has to face a practical war of his own brothers, cousins. They were rival from the very beginning. So this great epic called Mahabharata, this history of greater India, which surrounds so much of the province at that time, 5,000 years back. And Lord had incarnated during that time, simultaneously. And how he desired the situation, interfered in the situation, made every possible way to give the education, because he is impartial to all his living entities. Yet he became partial, apparently, or favorable inclined to the Pandavas or the five brothers who were born out of immaculate conception. One, by nature's law, somehow or another the first begotten was separated because there was some plan, and it developed into a great political rivalry. Without disclosing the identity, the elder brother called Karna was one who was begotten by the help of sun god his prowess was Karna, and he went on the opposite side without disclosing the identity. He did not know himself, because everything, but the mother knew. So how the dilemma is there? Every party which was in the great epic, the great many participants are there, and they are all of a virtuous character, but still out of all them, however proficient in their own fields, it's only love and devotion that counts for the Lord to go back to him or to gain his favor. This favor is permanent, establishes us back into our natural position. So this shows the real distinction between the spirit soul and the matter. Spiritual science dictates us that we cannot estimate on the material terms, because material qualities and spiritual qualities are opposing each other. Even it is very interesting to know that virtually what we think happiness in this material world is a fantasy. We experience pain regardless, and we are always busy to alleviate pain. So if we are able to do it at some or more extent, but not all extent, the pains of birth, pains of death, pains of illness, and pains of old age, they are the four main pains described in Bhagavad Gita. It's also called Song of God. If it's a political science, it will not be called song. And it has been told at the crucial time when the devastation is going to take place. And it does take place. But it makes the devotee ready, so they can work out on the command of the Lord. So it exposes the reality. Now Arjun was very much afflicted, because he was soft-hearted, generous, very religious, righteous, and what forth. And to fight against his own kinsman would be really a devastating, and he didn't want to become the cause of it. But his friend and guide, Krishna, said, "This is actually miserliness. It is coming up from the weakness of the heart. That your desires are on the platform of bodily attachment, material attachment. In that consideration, you are spirit soul, my part and parcel. How come you do not have that affinity or attachment with me? Because you don't belong in the matter. Matter has not produced you. It might have produced your body, but matter is not you. Actually, you are animating the matter, and that's why whole world is coming into existence, sustenance for some time, and then dissolve. And it is going on perpetually like this. Re-emergence, because material elements are there from innate nature, it will recombine, redo it. They are not combining on their own. There are supervisions and interjections of the Lord's desires too that helps it to recombine and come into existence. Therefore, reincarnation keeps on continuing. They are also told in detail. Even medical science considers reincarnation to be a fact. They have examined that every 7 years during our lifetime, every 7 years, all the cells of all the tissues and all organs are replaced by the new one. So if you live for 100 years, how many times you are going to reincarnate in this body? 14 times. But you do not see the change in the body. You remain the same. Your identity remains the same till you die. But that identity is to the body which is changing, or to the soul which is not changing. Therefore, most of our names are based on our religious scriptures to identify, to somehow or another come in connection to our originality. That we do have some relationship with our Creator. If He loves, then we have a prerogative to love Him back. So the relationship will be maintained. If we do it only on one-way track, then it becomes very unhealthy situation. Have you ever experienced the love only on one side, expectation? What happens? So, when there is discrepancy in actual loving affair with the Lord, the pains are arising. So, experience of pain is there as long as we are separated from the Lord. That is our material nature. And we count happiness on the measurement of how much pain we have. Happiness is a dependent term rather than an independent term like pain. Pain is experienced everywhere. But happiness is fleeting, cheating, and we work hard to strive to regain it and try to capture it, but meanwhile our term is over and we are forced to get out. So your happiness depends upon a comparative pain. If you have 10 distresses, you have 5 distresses, you think you are happier than him. That is a very precarious situation. How do people call themselves happy? Because they have some acquisition and other don't have? What is the standard of happiness? The standard of happiness depends upon the love, the loving exchange. But in the material world, everybody is for himself. Therefore, the love cannot be exchanged much or permanently. The energy principle means you are eternal, because it cannot be created nor can it be annihilated. An eternal principle means it has eternal functionality for eternal love. So there should be eternal relationship with the Lord, and that is the only prerogative for the human achievement. The highest. Therefore, religions are necessary to remind us. Our undercoat and the easiest way to remind us is by calling out His holy name. It is so suitable rather than other procedures that purifies us, purifies our misconception that we are this body. So, to come to the point of reality, it's not a comparative situation. What you think of real is different than you think it is real. No. Reality is explained as, for the real, there is no cessation, and for the unreal, there is no endurance. Even though it may exist, because it's Lord's energy, it is manifesting. But if it stays for some time only before us, and then disappears, it bewilders us. But who is responsible to make it appear, sustain for some time and disappear? You, me, and the Lord, because we are of that superior nature. This is beautifully explained in Bhagavad Gita. At the time of most critical decision for Arjuna. So, spiritual matter is only applicable to the soul, not to the body. But the body, being energy of the Lord, it can be utilized in the service of the Lord. But ultimate aim should be spiritual. Somehow or another, I was just reading a very nice article about Mother Teresa's the last book of her letters. You must have come across her revelations. This was recently published, and the review has been given to me by my God brothers. This is Mother Teresa's agony, that she is working on behalf of Lord, and she feels a total separation from the Lord. And in the terms she expresses in her about 40 letters that she has written to her counselors, Vatican Center. And so this has been compiled and it's recently came out in the book form, in probably a month only back. And it vividly describes that a devotee, one who is engaged in loving service of the Lord, feels pangs of separation from the Lord, and puts one on the anvil to test her faith. She acknowledges this over the period of I think it starts from 19 for about 66 years. In from 1956 onwards, she has communicated with so many pastors to describe her dilemma. And she feels pangs of separation from the Lord and expresses up to the extent what in Christianity it is called the dark endless tunnel, desperity, which is actually felt as a positive sign for intensified communion with the Lord. Atheists may take this advantage, but because they don't have any relationship with the Lord, why should they peep their head into it? But as far as devotees are concerned, those who are engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord, understanding the spiritual nature, they feel pangs of separation because as if they are alone in the world. Even though the Lord sanctions their work, so side by side when the missionary of charities, that her work was flourishing in India, she was overpowered by self dissatisfaction. And in several letters, you know, she is expressing continually this. Let me read a few of them. She confides in a letter to a spiritual confidant, the Reverend Michael Van Der Peet. He is in Darjeeling, India, and she was working in Calcutta. That only thing now being made public in these letters, she wrote with weary familiarity of a different Christ and absent one. Jesus has a very special love for you, she writes to him. She assures Vanderpreet. But as for me, the silence and emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me, that I let him have a free hand on me as a judgment. These are desperations of separation from the Lord, even though one is engaged in pure devotional service. Somebody will ask me, why do you relate this incident? Do you agree with this? You are coming from a different denomination, other things. But spiritual matter is a unified matter. How does one explore? She was ordained as a saint, saintlyhood. What saint means? One who is liberated from the material conception of life is called a saint, right? And if he is liberated, yet he is acting to serve the humanity under the banner of Jesus Christ or any bona fide spiritual master who is spiritual rather than denominational or traditional or anything, then the whole validity of the concept can bring forward to us. Let's see. This book of Mother Teresa is called Come Be My Light. It's been published by Doubleday Publishing Company, and it is consisting primarily primarily of correspondence between Teresa and her confessors and superiors over a period of 66 years, provides a spiritual counterpoint to a life known mostly through its work. The letters, many of them then preserved against her wishes. Mother Teresa was so humble that this was her confident mood, and she told her mentors, please destroy my letters. And yet they did not. Otherwise, how can we come to expose what is spirituality? Let me read to that. The letters, many of them preserved against her wishes, she had requested that they be destroyed, but was overruled by her church, reveal that for the last nearly half century of her life, she felt no presence of God whatsoever. Or, as the book's compiler and editor, the Reverend Brian Kolodijek writes, neither in her heart nor in the Eucharist. So how do you judge the treatise in terms of spiritual emancipation? Comparative religion is an apparent outer shell that you keep on comparing. But spirituality is uniform. So how does it affect us as the devotee of Krishna? Let me tell you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared 500 years back, who appeared to deliver his holy name and forecasted that his holy name will be sung throughout the world, because these holy names are identical with the Supreme Lord in quality and transcendental nature. It is not a material name. And we are advised to chant these names. And we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These 16 names of the Lord, but arranged in such a way which are described in the Vedic literature as the authoritative scripture from Yajurveda, there is a section called Kali Santrani Upanishad. And this describes the Mahamantra. And it is emphatically telling that for the spiritual realization, the holy name of Krishna means all attractive and all blissful personality of Godhead. Please engage me in your service. These are the meaning. So, when the Lord is approached through his energy. This energy is the counterpart of the Lord. We beg her mercy because we are also energy of the Lord and similar, superior in quality. But we forgot that. So we revive our natural connection by the transcendental sound vibrations. There should not be any material attachment to the nomenclature, which is probably you may consider, oh, it has been born out of in a certain geographical situation or location, or, you know, some faith is already doing it, why should I do it? Now, transcendental means it is unaffected by modes of material nature. Everything manifested in the nature is so much overrulingly manifested by the material nature that you do not see where the spirit is. Spirit within us is very difficult to locate. Even. Where are you? In this body. Your body may be weighing about 90 kilograms. But the spirit soul is tiny spark, but it is potential. Just like a little spark of the fire has the same potency to ignite big explosive. So this spark, which is having that potency and we exhibit by consciousness, this consciousness is the energy of life, energy of the spirit soul. And we use only in material exploration, naturally we'll be covered by material notions. All that we estimate, everything about each other or of the whole world is in material estimation, because we are totally in association with it. But by taking help of spiritual association through the sound vibration, which is the only means available to associate directly, therefore we pray. Therefore we ardently cry out for the help in desperation. And this desperation should take a climax over all material manifestation. So Teresa is feeling that. It is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who brought this holy name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and freely distributed. He said, "My dear Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names. You are only one. But in different denominations you have names. And all names are meaningful, not meaningless. But according to the meaning, people may seek the advantage of it by calling up, because they need help. Right? They are so insignificant. But the spirit soul and the spirit nature is very, very potent. Let him be awakened and then everything will be manifesting." So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names and you have invested all your energies, all your potencies in these names. There are no hard and fast rules to chant these names. Anybody can chant. Right? Anybody who has a tongue can chant. It's not only Hindus have to chant, but chant. But you say can't. Lord of Alapas." So naturally, we will remain under the overpowering influence of Maya or the material energy. So he said, "My dear Lord, you have hundreds and thousands of names and you have invested all your potencies in all your names. There are no hard and fast rules to chant. But yet I am so much unfortunate that I have no attraction to the holy name." So, who can chant the holy name? One has to become free from material kingdom. He has to think himself he is lower than the straw in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree. And he should be respectful to each and every other and never demand a respect for himself. Because he is in desperate situation. What these things are going to help him? Position in the society, or acquisitions. Nothing is going to help to satisfy his real quench. So, if one develops this attitude in humility, then one can chant the holy name constantly. Otherwise not. So we can see such a nice development in Mother Teresa. But she becomes desperate too. She is telling, "My dear Lord, have you forsaken me?" Let me read. This is a prequel, the near ecstatic communion that she has been writing in her letter. Jesus, wilt thou refuse to do this for me? You have become my spouse for my love. You have come to India for me. The thirst you had for souls brought you so far. Are you afraid to take one more step for your spouse, for me, for souls? Is your generosity grown cold? Or am I a second to you? Do you have some other preference? Jesus is telling to her that I am the resolute lover. Right? Do you have anybody more important than me? Now Teresa is replying, Jesus, my own Jesus, I am only thine. I am so stupid. I do not know what to say but to do with me whatever you wish, as you wish, as long as you wish. But why can't I be perfect Loreto nun? Because she joined her nunnery. There was a loose band of, I think, Irish Bay, yes. On September 10, 1946, after 17 years as a teacher in Calcutta with a Loreto sisters, an uncloistered education-oriented community based in Ireland, Mother Mary Teresa, 36 at that age, took a 400-mile train trip to Darjeeling. And then afterwards, you know, she started working with the poor. So Jesus is answering to her, I want Indian nuns, missionaries of charity, who would be my fire of love amongst the poor, the sick and the dying and the little children. You are, I know, the most incapable person, weak and sinful, but just because you are that, I want to use you for my glory. Wilt thou you refuse? This is the kind of communion, you know, she is writing. But then the test is beginning of the faith. She describes that Mother Teresa had visions, including one of herself conversing with Jesus Christ on the cross, her confessor, Father Celeste Van Exem, was convinced that her mystical experiences were genuine. He writes, her union with our Lord has been continual and so deep and violent that rapture does not seem very far, he commented. Teresa later wrote simply, Jesus gave himself to me. Then on January 6, 1948, Perrier, after consulting the Vatican, finally gave permission for Teresa to embark on her second calling, and Jesus took himself away again. Jesus is disappearing. Says, she is writing, this is an address to Jesus at the suggestion of a confessor, undated. Lord my God, who am I that you should forsake me? The child of your love, and now become as the most hated one, the one you have thrown away as unwanted, unloved. I call, I cling, I want, and there is no one to answer, no one to whom I can cling. No, no, no one, alone. Where is my faith? Even deep down, right, there is nothing but emptiness and darkness. My God, how painful is this unknown pain? I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd in my heart and make me suffer untold agony. So many unanswered questions live within me, afraid to uncover them because of blasphemy. If there be God, please forgive me. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. am told God loves me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. Did I make a mistake in surrendering blindly to the call of Sacred Heart? So in this way, you can see the desperation for a devotee increases, but actually that is counted as expression of pure love in spirituality. Now, how do we find similarity? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then further glorifies the holy name. Out of agony. Because he doesn't want any glory, he is ready to pay all the respects to others because he wants to chant the holy name constantly. He is telling, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani bhavatat bhakti rahitu kitvai. He says, I don't desire dhanam means money. I don't desire janam means the followers. I don't desire beautiful women. Na sundari. Neither I desire glorification. Kavitam. I have no desire. Only I desire that from birth after birth, let me be your servant in loving devotional service to you without any condition. So, this expression of love then further develops. How does it develop? Ainand tanu jakim karam patitam mam vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava pad pankajasthita duli sadrasham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I have fallen into the material existence. Bhavambudu, it is unsurmountable ocean of repeated birth and deaths, means experience nothing but pain. Please give me the shelter as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. That is an ardent desire to cling, to take the shelter. After chanting the holy name, shelter will be thus perfect when we do not have material motivations, right? Because it is hampering our reality, unexposed. So, then he says, desperation will begin. Yugaitam nimishena chakshusha pravrishaitam sunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Yugaitam nimishena. My dear Lord, I feel pangs of separation. One moment is passing like it is 12 years. Means, so extended time, one moment. And I'm constantly, crying out. My eyes are filled with tears all the time in separation. The time should be immediately, giving us the union, but it never happens in the material life. It separates us. So, I feel all vacant in the heart. I feel all vacant in the heart. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam, as well as outside. Govinda virhen, because of your separation, vacancy is felt. Then he says, when will my eyes will be decorated with the tears of love constantly flowing? That was his desire, because this shunyaitam means vacancy will not be filled unless we start filling the pens of separation. We will feel vacancy, and Christians call it the dark night. But remain confident that the Lord is easily available in separation only. So what kind of resolve one should have? The resolve is, Ashli Shiva Padaratam Pinastuna, my dear Lord, whether you embrace me or kick me out. Padaratam Pinastu, or punish me, or make me broken hearted. Yatha tathava vidadatu lampata. However you are, however but you are independent, and nobody can make you dependent. We are your dependent. Therefore, I must have a resolve that you are my unconditional Lord. Unconditional. This resolute determination, unconditional answer, is the reality that we have to bring it out in ours by the process. And the process is beginning and ending with the Holy Name. That's why we request everybody, please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I thought in the chapter of religious history, even this book of Mother Teresa, which is entitled as come be my light. Come be my light. She is inviting the Lord within her heart, so one can never separate. Separation one must feel, but separation is the only means for reunion. But unless and until one feels the separation from the Lord, there is no way of reunion. So that is the aim of our spiritual life. We go where we have come from, and that is a life of eternity. That is a life of actual promised land. This material world is not for gentlemen, you know. One must try to make an effort to get out from it. If we can do for once and all, the best. So I thank you very much. If you have any question or comments on the subject matter, Yes, sir. Okay.
Firstly, this is regard to the rituals that you were the prayers.
Okay.
It seems to be more towards the Indian culture, and if it was to include the whole world in a way, would there be some changes made to the rituals that you were in songs?
Okay. A question is about the outlook. For those who are familiar, they are known by their attire, but it's a discipline rather than an attire in itself. The doctors have their own attire when they are on the job. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord, or who is working on behalf of the Lord, they have their own attire too. Now, attire is not simply an outer clothing. There should be some internal attire also. That attire is called etiquettes. The internal attire is called etiquettes. Etiquettes can be formed on the basis of the divine qualities. To be compassionate is one of that qualities. So, what does it mean by compassion? Unless and until one is actually conducting the acts of compassion, then and then his internal makeup can be found. When we see that this body that we have acquired, after it has come from Lord's energy, so therefore it has to be utilized in service of the Lord. The Lord is also sitting as super soul in everyone's heart. So actually, he becomes the predominant occupier of the body, and it belongs to him. So naturally, we have to mark the places where our activities are not for sense gratification, but rather it is a reminder that it's a service to the Lord. The mark that you see on the forehead is a meditative mark of the Supreme Lord. The worshipper of Supreme Lord are called Vaishnavas, and this is called Vaishnava mark. It is consisting of actually three lines, but we consider the middle portion is three. So, in the matter of creation, sustenance and dissolution of the material body, this body has to be this material body has to be utilized for his service. And we remind that who are the deities or the personalities who are overseeing the process of creation, sustenance and dissolution. So it represents them. It represents them. We call Lord Vishnu is in the middle. One side is Brahma, another side is Lord Shiva, the Rudra. But in the service at the lotus feet, we take the example of the holy basil, Tulsi leaf. So we try to put it on the notes. And this marks have been at 12 different places. over the body. Not only one place. One is visible, others are not that visible because they have thunder. They are warm. So, in all sense, or all consciousness of the presence of the Lord is involved in our activities, mind and speech. So therefore, there is a congruency developed. Parallel situation is developed, both in manifested, means by words, mind and activities. So therefore, these attires are necessary to remind the devotee of the Lord. Yes. Yes.
And for us, we live in the eternal life.
Yes.
What the question about reincarnation, I seem to understand that it means that it is ongoing. And that for us, for eternal life, it is also ongoing. But before the life, we have to come to a time when there will be sort of judgment in place.
Right.
For those who have done things which are wrong.
Yes. See, there are simultaneously 8.4 million species of life existing. Science does not know even that number. Last year in December, they published that in Papua New Guinea itself, they found out more and more species of, say, paradise birds and the frogs and lizards and whatnot, that they did not have any accountability. There are multi and everywhere, even in deep down sea, you know, the life exists. Because life principle, as we define, that it can never be created and can never be annihilated. It is an eternal principle. And that pertains to the soul only, not to the body. Body is created, sustained for some time, and dissolve. So, what keeps the changing of the body? Change of the body is called reincarnation, and change is continuous. Is it not? Huh? If this body, you may think it is yours, but you think it is you, then you will be reminded, thus thou art and thus thou will be. But that dust formation is also bringing up more and more bodies. Is it not? So reincarnation is transmigration from one species of life to another similar. How does it do that? That principle is it. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that Vasamsi Jiranani Yathai Vihai. When you put the garments, they eventually become old, then you change to the new one. In the same way, Tatha Sharirani Vihai Jinnani Grihanati Navani Naroparani. So when the body, which is also a garment over the soul, when it becomes old and invalid, you give up and accept new one. Because you are attached to the garments. You are attached to the garments. You want it. So this material world has been given to us to facilitate, to provide the garments. The garments. But we are not the garments. You possess the garment. So fact remains the same. How come our understanding is like that we make the possession and make it proprietor, turn it into proprietor? Possession can never become proprietor. The soul is residing in the body. It is his property. But we think that we are the bodies. But we are not the body. The soul does not reincarnate. But if the soul has a desire out of misconception that he is the body, then he will reincarnate. He will keep on reincarnating. That is the understanding. You can stop your incarnations. You can stop the change of the body. Because you have original body too. The soul is having a personality. How would you understand that? If you hang your shirt, pant and other things, that gives you the shape of your body. Is it not? Because the shirt and pant has been done and according to the shape of the body. So, we should have original shape as a spirit soul. Is it not? Man is made in the image of God. Image dictates the shape. But the image is perverted. When you see yourself in the mirror, what do you see? Yourself to be on the opposite side. Your right hand become left hand of the image. So it's called perverted image. Perverted image. Upside down, or the whole material world is a perverted image of the reality existing. And we have our eternal life there. You may call heaven, that's there. But you have to go through. As long as you have material attachment, you will have to go through different species of life. But in human species of life, this consciousness is so much dynamic and helping us. Instead of using in the material attachment, why don't we attach to the spiritual aspect? It is existing. Is there anything left unanswered in that question? Otherwise. Yes.
When the incarnation, like that, in human, you know, because there is any power to position of, you know, in order to sort of build our relationship with the Lord. But, you know, when you are reincarnated to another species, I'm just questioning myself, you know, how do you, you know,
justify?
Yeah.
So, I have been given a human body, but if I live like a dog, then who determines the reincarnation? My own mentality. Krishna explains that. Whatever the mood and the bhav or the desire at the time of quitting this body, one locks up into, he or she is verily identical form that to fulfill that desire. If I misuse my human form of life and live like a pig, then naturally I will become a pig. We are the architect of our own future. Nobody else. We determine what you want to become. Why not, even for material concept, you desire something and you strive for it and you become, is it not? If you want to become an engineer, go and study, but that's your desire and then do that. You have a question? Hmm? What did he say? You didn't hear? It's a smart boy. Sometimes he asks me tough questions too. Yes. You have to tell me when I go to home because I didn't understand anything what you say. Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir.
I just want to make a comment on you mentioned that separation is only means union for so for me personally, I see that this is something that most of us we don't really understand. It's something that we still get. Something that is yet to be understood.
Right.
Especially in Christians. It's not easy to understand.
Yes.
Only those who can accept it can accept it.
Right. See, we think that we take the help of our brain to understand. Our brain has a limited knowledge or poor fund of knowledge. It cannot estimate by intellectual scrutiny the merits of transcendental situation. When you are in a transcendental process, it is beyond the calculation of the mode of material nature. Our brain is made up of matter. So spiritual matters are never to be understood with our cerebral hemispheres. It is a matter of heart and the purification of the heart. We have to take the help of the agent that purifies us, and that is the Holy Name. So, anyone who chants the Holy Name, his conviction becomes firm in heart rather than in brain. I can explain you the logic behind the spirit and matter or the distinction by some study, but ultimate experience is to be achieved is from the heart. Brain is required, or intelligence is required, is only to guide us on the path of spiritual. Distinguishing between the matter and spirit is the function of intelligence. It's not for the mind. Mind has a function to accept and reject the pleasure and pain. That's it. But intelligence will say, no, even the quinine is very bitter, but it will cure my malaria. So, you have to force it. Otherwise, who wants to spend his time in chanting the glories of the Holy Name? We can't relate that, because it's a matter of the heart, where you reside. But you utilize your brain, but don't give liberty to the brain to estimate even the inaccessibility of the divine love. Can you love by brain? Yes, sir.
you sense a very lovely thing about sort of a mystical union with God and a loving relationship that makes you understand from a Christian perspective. Also, the very reincarnation that we thought is important, really. It's ultimately, the ultimate happiness is a loving relationship.
Right. The demand was created that make this human form life the last life. Make it last. That's correct. That's correct.
So would you say you made such a strong distinction on spirit and matter? Is it matter evil? Would you say the material?
Matter, now matter has opposite characteristics. And matter has both goodness and evil together. But transcendental nature is beyond more of goodness even. Otherwise, it will be misleading to us to enjoy within this matter. And the life of abundance, that what is proclaimed, it is in the Lord's residence. Not in this jail. Here everything is limited. But materially attached, we try to explore other countries thinking this is the promised land. That's why America has been established. Promised land. But they don't understand the promised land is within our own spiritual conception. And where the Lord is also simultaneously the residence of that land. So life of abundance is not in the material world. Otherwise, how are we going to be liberated from the effects of the three modes of material nature? So both good and evil are in the material world. In the Lord's realm, none of that exists. Only love exists. Is love good? It is all good, not only good. Is love evil? No. But all good and real temporary good in the material world has no value. Real good has the real value. God is all good. There is no evil in Him. Evil is the opposite energy. And because we asked from the Lord out of envy, not obeying His commands, the evil comes from disobedience of the laws of the Lord. Yes.
Regarding incarnation, indeed everybody, especially with world religion, wants a particular same end. And the question is, in your first talk, you managed to say that the divine incarnate in a way that teaches us how to have devotion. And then later on, you want to say it again that. That same divine incarnated, incarnated into different religious names, and those different names are significant in themselves. That's regard the divine word incarnated into different religious, and those different names specify with different types of strength and energy, which regard the same divine word. So, do you think, with regard to those, when the science of material world distinguishes? Differences are taken over by the science of spirituality. Do you think at such a time when all the religions, when they come to one, that is the only divine God, is their only God, do you think that incarnation will lead all those religions to that particular end?
No, the God is one. Understanding may be at a different level. Right? So, you can't mix up the externalities of conducting religion. Let them be as the variety. Let them coexist. But the fact is on the spiritual aspect and material aspect. When we talk religiously, there is a different understanding because it's an external shell. Spirituality is the real aspect of the religion. How do you bring out? So, whether you are believing in reincarnation or not believing in reincarnation is not going to matter much. Are you spiritually oriented in this life totally? And make your life expression by mind, words and activities totally devoted to spiritual, means beyond the modes of pre-material nature. You will stop reincarnation right away. Because you are eternal. You do not reincarnate. But when you misunderstand that even though spirit soul you are, but you are so much added to fulfill the selfish desires which are on the temporary grounds, then you will never be satisfied and therefore you will keep on reincarnating. So, the choice is yours. The fact remains the same. Reincarnation is not a denominational question. Reincarnation is a scientific fact. To reincarnate means to come in a different form, external form. This form may look alike, but all the ingredients have been changed, all the units have been changed, the previous units have been devoured, so they go through creation, sustenance and dissolution. Life principle is very sacred, thus, therefore, we must stop reincarnation. We cannot negate reincarnation because there is no description somewhere by whatever the reason may be. It's a phenomena that one cannot negate. So you have to know that what it makes. Whether you believe or not, it's not going to stop that you have the same body. You are changing 14 times in 100 years. Right? So within this life, if we are having the habit to change, why are we going to stop the change at the end of this body? That is the question. It does not depend whether I believe or not. But facts remain the same. We have material body made up of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Then there are three subtle elements which you do not see, but you have it. And that is called mind, intelligence and ego. When the gross body dies, that's the only experience we have. What about the subtle body? What about your desires? Because the soul is still hanging around within that subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. Where it is going? Probably it may not be there in the literature that you are not exposed to. That's why the thorough studies have been done, and this principle has been found in the Vedic literature. Some political or conventional situation might have arisen and somebody erased the process of reincarnation. But still, indications find to look deeper into certain incidents, then raising up of Elisha is there. What does it mean? So certain phenomena, some people do not know, but it doesn't mean that nobody has an access to deeper study and wherever it is available from. We study or get education from a primary level to junior level to high school level to college level to university level and postgraduates too. Life is continuing simply to gather experience. But how much knowledgeability are we gaining? It depends upon what is real education and what is temporary education. In the universities, we are given education only for how to maintain our body and desires of the body. But real desires of the soul are never quenched, because there are studies and it is too much. Because there are very few people like you, you will be inquisitive about the spiritual life. Do you think these questions are being asked on the road somewhere, at a different kind of meeting? No. Because it requires study in disciplined way, then naturally we will be given access to it. Even Jesus told himself that there is yet a lot to know. But then, these are essential facts. And we should develop it. And as far as spiritual life is concerned, which is common to both of us, in all the denomination, then we must remain united just for the simple process of spiritual emancipation. And we try to help each other out. This kind of exchanges and the philosophy will be important to investigate the unexplored subject matters. Now, creation, sustenance and dissolution applies only to material aspect. Spiritual aspect is never created, never going to be destroyed either. It is an eternal realm. Where is the question of reincarnation there? In the eternity. Where there is temporality, reincarnation is possible. Right? For the soul, there is no reincarnation if he is in spiritual world. But the higher principle has been told, as we spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he wants to engage in devotional service birth after birth. What does it mean? He is asking for reincarnation. Huh? The Lord does not forsake His dear part and parcel. He is accompanying a super soul. Now, how is it possible that if somebody is God conscious or Krishna conscious, what we call, can be ever remaining in separation with the Lord when He is coming to do the job of Lord? How is it possible? Even though He may keep on changing the body, but He is not in bodily conception. He is ever liberated within the body. So there is no reincarnation for Him. Or even if apparently a reincarnation comes, it is not hampering His spirituality. He is eternally subservient, and He asks the Lord, please allow me to serve you all the time. That is a better position. So we don't care whether we are reincarnating or not reincarnating, but we don't want to come back simply to get material miseries. We have to make a way out. Means become liberated by engaging in service of the Lord, and you gain the eternal kingdom with the Lord. So you can serve Him eternally there. You think there is no vacancy in the kingdom of the Lord? Even though our scriptural estimation, the comparability is given, the material world is considered like a prison in a big city. Only those who are miscreants, means disobeying the laws of the Lord, they are given the process of reincarnation. Those are eternally liberated. They are free citizens in the city. So, liberation means come out from the prison house. Don't anticipate that you want a better facility in the next life because you are doing righteous work. That will be a bad bargain again. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even if I have to come in many, many lives, I only desire your unconditional devotional service. Like that. You find reincarnation to be a very interesting phenomenon? That also justifies why there are so many species of life. Why there are so many varieties of life existing simultaneously. So, thank you very much for the kind patience. Hare Krishna.